Bible, please, if you want to turn to 1 Peter. And we'll be looking at a couple of passages there. I'm going to pray for God's word just before we get into our series this morning. Let's just again bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, please, to speak to us again through your word. Lord, we've been going through this series on your holiness, and Lord, to be truthful, Father, we're not even scratching the surface on such a marvelous, such a wonderful, such an awe-inspiring subject. But Lord, in a moment, a revelation of you, a revelation from you, can help us to understand more fully the holiness of God. And we pray that those suddenlies would come into our own situations, Lord God, into our own lives, into whatever circumstances, Lord God, that we face today or in the coming week, that we would see the holiness of God manifested in our lives. We ask, Spirit of the living God, that you would help us this morning to hear what God is saying to us, and that you would bless us through the word, and that we would take that word, Lord God, and cherish it in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Keith spoke about Job, who is described, and I was just saying there at the Bible study, you know, that Job is possibly, and it's not confirmed, but it's possibly the earliest book that was ever written on planet Earth. And Keith was speaking about Job as this man who, the book itself describes him as blameless and upright, a man who feared God and shunned evil. So, you know, you think about this. If this was the first book that was ever written, then you have here the first record of a person who feared God and shunned evil. Now, we know that the Bible gives us more insights into other people from the history of creation, but how incredible to think that that's almost like a testimony that Job has in himself, that he... The first book ever written speaks of a man who was blameless and upright, who feared God and shunned evil. And having experienced terrible, terrible suffering in his life, suffering that none of us would ever want to happen to us or would ever like to see inflicted upon anyone else, having experienced great suffering, this upright man who believed that he had a relationship with God was actually brought through all of the suffering to a place where he actually wished that he had never been born. Now, sometimes, I don't know how you see it, but sometimes people who talk about suicide are just really wanting a wee pity party round at their place. And I can't be bothered with them, pity party people. And sometimes you can see right through it when it's poor me, poor me, poor me. I'm asking people who think about suicide, and I'm not talking about those who are genuinely suffering here, I'm talking about the poor me's. Have you ever lost your entire family, bar your partner? Have you lost all of your possessions? And have you been so afflicted with ailments that you were brought to the place where you wished you were never born? See, until you're at that place, you've still got something to live for. You've still got hope. Even when you're at this place, you'll learn from the book of Job, you still have hope. While you have breath, you have hope. And God isn't remotely interested in the poor me's. He didn't even acknowledge Job's sufferings. He went beyond that and said, Job, through it all, I am with you. Have faith in me. And I would say to people who are poor me's, who toy with the thoughts of suicide, and I'm not talking about those who are genuinely suffering, don't put yourself into the category of poor me when you haven't really been there. Understand that there is hope. And for those this morning who, you know, maybe do feel suicidal and may have what they believe are genuine reasons to commit suicide, I can say to you that suicide is a permanent solution to a possible temporary problem. And what I would suggest is that you call out to the Lord that he might rescue you and that he might help you and give you new and abundant life. Having experienced great suffering, this upright man Job was brought to the place where he wished he was never born. He cursed the day that his mother gave birth to him. And in his sufferings, he questioned, why is this happening to me? And I think what Keith was trying to say is, with some of the questions that Job had, you could nearly think, well, you know, how dare these be allowed to happen to me? I'm an upright man. Whether that's the view or not, we don't know. But anybody, when they're going through sufferings, question that. Why is this happening to me? Even people who know that they deserve it to happen to them question, why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? Have I not offered sacrifices and worshipped and honoured God? As Keith said, perhaps God permitted Job's suffering to bring him to a place of humility, or a place where the holiness of God could be revealed to Job. In fact, when God did speak to Job, Job felt utterly vile, and he placed his hand over his mouth. The holiness of God can often come to us in our circumstances and make us think that we don't even know God, that we've never really known him at all. How does the holiness of God make you feel this morning? When God comes to speak to you, do you have any sense that he is to be feared? That you haven't truly known him? Or does his holiness make you put your hand over your mouth because you really don't know what you're talking about when you say, God has given me this word? Does the holiness of God confront your, this shouldn't be happening to me, sort of attitude? Or does it raise you to a higher place in him and a place of understanding where he can reveal things to you? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he writes these words. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. He's writing to Christians here. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Turn to chapter 2 now, please, of 1 Peter. Therefore, Peter says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let me ask you something this morning. For crying out loud, don't answer it. On a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, how holy do you feel this morning? Now, 1, very unholy. 10, absolutely like me, holy. And perfect. Right, so I'm going to ask the question again. Please don't shout it out, because you might be taken out and stoned. On a scale of 1 to 10, how holy do you feel this morning? Do you know there's a new tool, right? A new tool that a lot of businesses and particularly internet businesses and surveys that are being used these days call a tool that they use called a peak period scale. Now what that means is, if you can imagine Bloomfield Shopping Centre, so Bloomfield Shopping Centre will have a peak period scale. And what they do is that they measure the footfall of people coming through the doors throughout the week, and they know when the peak periods are, and they know exactly when they need to have so many staff on and what they need. They even know when there are peak periods of people buying certain things, so they know they need to have the shelves stacked with certain things at certain times of the year. It's called a peak period scale. Other people use other terms. So let's forget about our scale of 1 to 10, unholy or holy, right? Let's use a peak period scale here. Now, so using a peak period scale, when do you think you are most holy or more holy than at other times? So, and we'll just look at it over a period of a week. Okay, so think about your life over the past week. When, using the peak period scale, when did you think you were more holy and less holy at other times? Perhaps maybe it's a Sunday because you come to church twice, or a Wednesday because you make the effort in the freezing cold to come out to the Bible study. Or maybe it's in your quiet time, or when you're praying for or speaking to someone about Jesus. How holy do you feel today? You see, this is really important, because the way that we view or understand holiness will, without any doubt, influence how we view the holiness of God. Remember what I said way at the start of this series about God and His holiness, that He is far above all others. He is transcendent. He is in a class of His own. He is separate from all sin, death, and idolatry. He is completely perfect. He is free from all moral imperfections, corruptions, and failures. He is absolutely separate from evil. He cannot tolerate sin. He is the judge of all that is right and pure, because He Himself is righteous and pure. And there is no one and none as holy as Him. But do you judge God's holiness on a scale of 1 to 10? Are there times when you think that God is more holy or holier than usual or less holy? We all think He's more holy once we've sinned, and we feel the condemnation by the enemy coming against us and the Holy Spirit convicting us about sin, and we think, oh, God's more holy, He's angry. But as far as holiness is concerned, God is off the scale. He is in a class of His own, and He is always holy, holy, holy. Does it seem then, and I asked this some weeks ago, does it seem a tad unusual that this holy, holy, holy God tells sinful people like us to be holy, for I am holy? Three times in the book of Leviticus, God specifically commanded Israel, be holy, for I am holy. God wasn't thinking about the holiness of us people on a scale of 1 to 10. How holy are you today, or how unholy are you today? He wasn't thinking about the holiness of the people of Israel on a peak period scale. Well, it's good that it's the Shabbat because they're more holy today. God was absolutely unequivocal, absolutely explicit in His command, be holy, for I am holy. In other words, God was saying to His people, and He is still saying to His people today, you've got to be in a class of your own. You've got to transcend the world. You've got to be far above unbelievers around you as far as holiness is concerned. You've got to be separate from sin. See these Christians who think they can go out and toy with sin and be a part of the world out there and think, oh, I'm going to reach these people with Jesus, neck another pint while I'm doing so. It doesn't work. You've got to be separate from sin, idolatry, and the ways of the world. Be holy, for I am holy. You've got to strive for perfection and rise above moral imperfections and corruptions and failures. Even though you are a sinner living in a sin-cursed world in a sin-cursed body, you've still got to strive for these things. You've got to separate yourself even from the very appearance of anything that is evil. Don't tolerate sin. Don't give it a foothold in your own life. You've got to think and do what is right and pure because you are righteous and pure in God's eyes. It's why he says, be holy, for I am holy. Is this, honestly, is this even possible? Can a Christian be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy? In the eyes of God, that is how he sees you right now. Hear that? Is it possible for a Christian to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy? In the eyes of our Heavenly Father, that is how he sees you right now. Our holy, holy, holy God sees us as holy and blameless in his sight. And you know what? He really doesn't give a monkey's about your scale of 1 to 10 or your peak period scale about when during your week are you peaking more holy than any other time. From God's perspective, you are holy, holy, holy. The Apostle Peter says that we can now live holy lives because God in Christ Jesus has declared us holy. We could not do this before, but because of Jesus and because we are in Jesus and through Jesus, we have been declared holy, and therefore we have been equipped with the Holy Spirit to be able to live holy lives. But the enemy comes against us and says, you're never going to be able to do it, and you're never going to be able to reach sinless perfection, but you can still strive after holiness. Because God in Christ has declared us holy, therefore, with the Holy Spirit's help, Peter tells us, we cannot, oh, I struggle too much with this, oh, I've tried, but I feel, we can lay aside the old sinful, fleshly, and worldly ways. God says, we can do it. The unbeliever cannot do this. The unbeliever is not declared righteous or holy in God's sight. All their high morals and their worldly separation, all of these incredible attributes that the unbeliever has or may not have, achieves nothing for them in the eyes of God. They are of no value to Almighty God. Without trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit, and therefore you cannot be declared holy, because we Christians are in Jesus. We are no longer slaves to sin. We have been set free to walk and live in the freedom for which Christ Jesus has set us free. And now, instead of offering ourselves to sin as we formerly did, we can offer ourselves to God and lay aside the ways of our old nature and our sinful practices with the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. God's not asking us to do it on our own because he knows we can't. And even if we fail 1,000 times, you keep going 1,001 times until the Spirit of God gives you that freedom in Christ. But we can lay aside these things with the help of God, who already sees us as holy. God doesn't see the stumbling blocks in that sense that we present. God sees us as holy and blameless, and he shouts out to us, be holy! Be holy as I am holy, because you can be. If you have been justified by God, that means just as if you're never sinned. If you have been justified by God through faith in Jesus, then you have been. Understand this. If you have been justified by God through faith in Jesus, then you have been and are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. These two are inextricably linked. Justification and sanctification are married together. You can't be justified in Christ and not be sanctified. The two go together. So when you think, I'm not holy, you may as well say, I'm not saved. But you know that you are saved because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Justification and sanctification are married together. And even though you feel like the worst sinner on the face of God's planet, and believe me, this week I have felt like that. Even though you think you're a terrible, terrible Christian, God says, you know what, you're still a Christian. You know what that means? You've been justified. Do you know what that means? You've been sanctified. In God's eyes, you're holy. And you know what? It means you're going to be glorified. And it's all because of Jesus. The holiness of God commands. It's not a wee God sitting up there. Is there any chance? Do us a wee favor. Try and be holy. God's not sitting up in heaven saying that. But that's what we do, because we think, well, I'll measure myself on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm not doing too bad this week here by Wednesday. I'm on a 9 here. Or peak flow, you know, during the day. Well, in the morning, you know, I'm reading my Bible, doing really good. Till the boys get up and they start slobbering, and then off you go and you're right there. And you're sort of, well, where is my peak period scale? When am I most holy during the week? You know, well, it has to be a Sunday morning, talking for me. It has to be a Sunday morning if I'm preaching, or a Sunday. Sure, I wouldn't get up behind that pulpit if I'm not holy. And you start believing all this nonsense. And it's rubbish. God commands from his people that we be holy as he is holy. But listen to this and take this on board this morning, please. The holiness that God commands from his people, right? Not on a scale of 1 to 10, not on a peak period scale of how holy you are during the week. The holiness, complete holiness that God commands from his people is already the wonderful gift that he has given to us. What he commands from us, he has already given us. And what he's saying is, walk in it. Walk in it. Enjoy it. Lay aside all that old crap that you don't need anymore from your old life. You don't have to live like that because you're not a slave to Satan. You're not a slave to sin. You can walk in holiness and live that abundant life. Now, don't get me wrong. None of us ever do it. None of us ever manage even a day of living like that. But you know what? That doesn't mean we shouldn't strive to. The holiness that God commands from his people is a wonderful gift. And I'll tell you why it's a wonderful gift. Because if God was saying, be holy as I am holy, and expected us to do it, then our salvation wouldn't be completely belonging to God. We would have had to add our wee bit to it. But because salvation always 100% belongs to God, and we sing it, salvation belongs to our God, that means he has to have given us the holiness that he commands us to walk in. Because that's part of the package of our salvation through faith in Jesus. It's wonderful. The holiness that he commands from his people is a wonderful gift that he gives to us when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The outworking of that holiness on a day-to-day basis is the necessary work of the believer as we look to the Spirit of God to help us, and as Peter says, to lay aside. We look to the Spirit of God to help us to lay aside the old ways of thinking and acting and to walk in the right paths. Our holiness, Christian, Our holiness isn't measured on a scale of 1 to 10. And like, I don't know, and don't answer. I don't know what you said this morning or what you answered when I asked, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you this morning in holiness? You know, but God doesn't measure your holiness on that scale. And he doesn't look at your week and say, oh, now they're doing really good this week. Look at that, they're on Thursday. They were brilliant. Doesn't happen like that. Our holiness isn't measured on a scale of 1 to 10 or a peak period scale. We are holy in God's eyes. We are holy, and he has given us the gift of holiness, and he's saying, walk in it. Walk in it. And if you need any encouragement to be holy because God our Father is holy, then Peter gives us plenty. Because Peter tells us, you are a chosen generation. Now, I'm going to read into this something the Bible probably doesn't mean. But what I'm saying for me is, and probably for you is, in this generation that you are alive, of all the people on planet Earth who are alive, you have been chosen by God to be holy. And to walk in that holiness, you have been chosen to be saved by his grace. And he has given you the gift of salvation. And in that package is the holiness that he commands you to walk in. So this is why Peter says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are children of the King. And you are priests ministering unto the Lord. You have access to the greatest throne rooms that there could possibly be. You can go beyond Her Majesty the Queen's throne room because you can go into the throne room of Almighty God. You are, Peter says, a royal priesthood ministering unto the Lord. He tells you, if you're looking for more encouragement, he says, you are a holy nation. You're already holy. He didn't say you're a holy nation sometime during the week. Or you're a holy nation on a scale of 1 to 10. Well, you know, sometimes you're there, sometimes you're not. He says, you are. You are part of a holy nation. Then he says this, you are God's special people. And I always say, and I read this passage, and people have said to me all my day, you're a wee bit special. You can't read that passage living in Northern Ireland without thinking like that. Sure you can't. But we are God's special people, set apart to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think about this for a moment, and I know I'm going to have to rush here. Think about this for a moment. Called from darkness into his marvelous light. On your scale of 1 to 10, let's say you were really pushing it and thinking you were a good Christian this morning, right? And you give yourself a 5, right? And God knows which one of you it was. You're going to get convicted for it, right? So you give yourself a scale of 5. That means 5 you're holy and 5 you're not holy. So the 5 that's holy is the light, okay? So what's the other 5? Darkness. Well, I've just hit this now. Darkness. But look what it says. You have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. There is no unholiness in his light. So he's telling you again that you, my special person, whom I have given full salvation to through faith in Jesus my Son, and I have given you this wonderful gift of holiness, you, my special person, are holy because you have been brought into my kingdom of light. It's wonderful. So how does the holiness of God make you feel now? On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate your holiness right now? Do you think you're more holy one day and less holy the next? And it doesn't even count your sin. Do you think you're more holy one day or less holy the next? And that's not to make light of sin, but the Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Of course, sin, Satan and the flesh play a major part in making us feel less holy. But we must look to the Lord to forgive us and to keep cleansing us from habitual sins and to help us by His Holy Spirit to lay aside, as Peter says, the old ways of thinking and acting and enable us to walk in the right paths. Christian, our Father is holy, holy, holy. And we are commanded to be like Him. Strive for perfection. You're never going to reach it. You're never going to reach sinless perfection because you live in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world. Strive for perfection. Putting off the deeds of the flesh and walk in the Spirit. Be holy, our Father says. For I am holy. Walk in it, says the Lord. Maybe somebody this morning is here or someone listening in and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me just say something to you that no matter what moral standards you have in life, in fact, no matter what moral standards you may not have in life, God says you are a sinner and that you need to be cleansed from your sin. Your sin, your unholiness separates you from God who is holy. And unless that sin is dealt with, you will be forever separated from God in hell. Jesus died to pay the price for your sin. Because He loves you, Jesus died to pay the price for your sin. God says, if you confess your sin, if you agree with God that you are a sinner, that you are unholy, if you repent, that means turn around from that sin and leave it behind and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be given a new life and you too will be made holy and know God, your Father in heaven, as holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, what stupid people we are, Lord God, that too often we measure our holiness on how we feel, on how we act. And of course, Lord, we know that there are ungodly acts and that there are sinful things, Lord God, that we all do. But because we are in Christ, thank You that You view us as holy and blameless in Your sight. But that doesn't, Lord God, allow us to do as we please. You command us to walk in the holiness that You have given us. You've given us Your Holy Spirit to dwell within us and to help us and to sanctify us in spirit, mind and body so that we can walk in holiness. Help us, Lord, not to give in to the flesh, the world or the devil. Help us to lay aside the old ways and to walk in the new ways that we have been called into in Christ. Help us, Father, please, to glorify You and to realize that when we're feeling really down about our Christian life, that from Your perspective, we're holy. Help us, Lord, therefore, to walk in that holiness. In Jesus' name. Amen.